Kayla, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you for having me.
So part of the democratic process is that people can participate in the choices that their government makes. Usually that happens at city council meetings or county commissioner meetings. How are city and state governments navigating those types of meetings right now when we're restricted from meeting in person?
The right to know and the right of participation are outlined in the Montana Constitution. So that means that members of the public must be given the opportunity to watch meetings and also to participate and provide input. So elected officials are required to navigate that right now. And how they do that depends on what method they choose to do that, whatever fits for them. In Sydney, Montana, the city council is using Microsoft Teams. In Hardin, Montana, according to the Bighorn County News, Hardin City Council is using Facebook Live, so people can ask a question online. And in Glendive, meetings are actually canceled in April.
You know, switching over to all tech-based public meetings sounds like there might be some challenges that unexpectedly pop up from that. Have any groups faced issues trying to move their meetings online?
It appears that mostly the smaller communities are managing the remote meetings pretty well. On the other hand, larger bodies voting on issues of statewide significance are bumping into trouble. For example, the Public Service Commission, which regulates utilities in Montana, they had a meeting where they talked about Northwestern Energy's proposed acquisition of a share in Colstrip Unit 4, and someone called in and Zoom bombed them, which is basically when someone interrupts a conversation with cursing or racism or something that's not related at all. And so they had to put a pause on that agenda item and postpone it because they didn't feel like they had given opportunity for public comment thoroughly. There are some other issues just with technology and people not being familiar with what to do. Lee Banville, who's a University of Montana professor of media law, had this to say about that.
These kind of collaborative efforts are only as effective as sort of the weakest technological links of the people participating.
If you have your speakerphone on and you're not on mute, then that can reverberate through the entire meeting.
It sounds like more prominent meetings might be targeted more frequently than smaller, more rural areas holding their meetings online. What ways can government bodies improve their meetings that are moved online?
Training is one thing that Banville pointed out that people might need to make sure things are streamlined. And he's also going back to the subject of technology and choosing software that best suits the needs of the people involved. And he said that maybe Zoom might not be the best choice for certain groups. Banville gives one example of a council that's doing meetings well. He said Missoula City Council.
They're not trying to run a normal meeting, but do it online. They're really trying to say, like, what are the specific things that need to be addressed? How do we address them? And then how do we make sure that people know what we're talking about?
Kayla, what's at stake if government groups can't figure out how to balance public meetings and open meeting laws with these social distancing guidelines that, you know, might continue into the future?
If there's no one keeping elected officials accountable, that could put voters' interests at risk. If elected officials do hold a meeting behind closed doors, they're leaving themselves up to a potentially lengthy and expensive lawsuit. The public could demand a revote. So theoretically, elected officials could make changes without due process. But if they're caught, then there are consequences.
Thanks, Kayla.
Yeah, thank you.